Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Joshua chapter 9. Now it came about when all the kings who were beyond the Jordan, in the hill country, and in the lowland, and on all the coast of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard of it, they gathered themselves together with one accord to fight with Joshua and with Israel. So the fame of Israel is beginning to get out, the fact that God is with them and that they are taking over these various countries. This news travels. But when a different group of people, the inhabitants of Gibeon, heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they acted craftily and set out as envoys and took worn-out sacks on their donkeys and wineskins worn out and torn and mended and worn out and patched sandals on their feet and worn-out clothes on themselves. And all the bread of their provision was dry and had become crumbled. So what they're doing, this not the nations that were mentioned earlier that came together with one accord against Israel, but this other group of people, the Gibeonites, they pretend as though they're coming from a long ways away. So they're making it look, with all their worn out clothes and wineskins and dried bread, that they had come from a long journey. And they're going to try to entice Israel to make a peace treaty with them as though they're a long ways away, like not in the promised land, not part of the land that Joshua is supposed to overtake. So here's what happens. They went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a far country. Now therefore make a covenant with us." The men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you are living within our land. How then shall we make a covenant with you?" So these people from Gibeon can be called Hivites. And Israel's concerned, "Hey, what? How do we know you're from far away?" But they said to Joshua, "We are your servants." Then Joshua said to them, "Who are you and where do you come from?" They said to him, "Your servants," so they're being real humble before Joshua, "have come from a very far country because of the fame of the Lord your God. And we have heard the report of him and all that he did in Egypt, referring to God, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth." Those are the victories Israel had in the desert. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, "Take provisions in your hand for the journey, and go and meet them, and say to them, 'We are your servants now, then make a covenant with us. This, our bread, was warm when we took it for our provision out of our houses on the day that we left to come to you, and now behold, it is dry and has become crumbled. These wineskins which we filled were new, and behold, they are torn. And these are clothes, and our sandals are worn out because of the very long journey." So they're just lying about everything and trying to use, you know, the things that they brought that are worn out as a testimony that they really did come from a far away place. So the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. So they are not asking for help from God, Israel, that is, and they're beginning to trust these people. And Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live, and the leaders of the congregation swore an oath to them. Now, that's really interesting. You know, they don't ask for God's help, and they go ahead and make this covenant, thinking these people are from a faraway land, but they're actually from the promised land. Joshua was not wise here in not seeking God's help. It came about at the end of 3 days, after they had made a covenant with them, that they heard that they were neighbors and that they were living within their land. Then the sons of Israel set out and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Shephara and Beeroth and Kiriath Jearim. The sons of Israel did not strike them because of the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. And the whole congregation grumbled against the leaders. But all the leaders said to the whole congregation, "We have sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we cannot touch them. This we will do to them, even let them live, so that wrath will not be upon us for the oath which we swore to them." The leaders said to them, "Let them live." So they became hewers of wood and drawers of water for the whole congregation, just as the leaders had spoken to them. Then Joshua called for them and spoke to them, saying, "Why have you deceived us, saying, 'We are from a very far away from you,' when you are living within our land? Now, therefore, you are cursed, and you shall never cease being slaves, both hewers of wood and jars of water for the house of my God." So they answered Joshua and said, "Because it was certainly told your servants that the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land before you, therefore we feared greatly for our lives because of you, and we have done this thing." So they were afraid, and they lied and deceived, and Joshua agreed and made a covenant with them. And, you know, it actually, their craftiness is going to work to save their lives, but now they are going to end up being servants of Israel and of God in this way. "Now behold, we are in your hands. Do as it seems good and right in your sight to do to us." Thus he did to them and delivered them from the hands of the sons of Israel, and they did not kill them. But Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation of the altar of the Lord to this day in the place which he would choose. One of the things I think you'll see is that, you know, the people did not necessarily want to destroy all the people of the land. It's something that God had asked them to do because he didn't want them to intermix. He didn't want them to take on their gods. But they found reasons not to do it, and the people of the land ended up becoming snares to them. And later in life, they will end up taking on some of the gods of the people that they don't destroy. So it was their kind of propensity at times not to do what God asked them to do. And in this case, you know, something that I find interesting is that, like, if someone were to ask you to enter a contract and they do it all by lies and deceit, and then later on you're in this contract and they deceived you to enter it, and Joshua here is, you know, he didn't ask God to enter the contract. He also didn't ask God what to do after the contract. Like, after it was signed or agreed to, but it was made in deceit, I would have thought he would have said, "God, what do you want us to do now? Because we agreed to this, but we agreed to it on a false pretense. God, do you want us to honor that?" Because I don't necessarily think a contract, you know, is honorable when someone completely lied to get you to agree to the contract, and then you immediately find out, "Oh, well, everything they told me was a lie." So then the contract, in my view, would not be binding. But Joshua didn't ask God that either, and instead honors the contract. And again, they didn't really want to have to take these people out. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to know what we should learn from this. Because do we learn from this? If you enter into a contract, you need to honor it, even if the pretense of the contract is a lie. I'm not sure we really learn that. It's what they did here, but they didn't ask God that either. They didn't ask God to enter it, and they didn't ask God to break it. So, you know, they're kind of relying on their wisdom on both sides of it, and maybe it was God's plan for these people to live. You know, somehow he allowed it here for them to live. I read that these Gibeonites apparently helped Nehemiah many, 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 many years later to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So maybe God had a purpose in saving these folks. But I think one thing we can learn is that instead of just acting on our own strength and our own wisdom, before we get involved in contracts or make big decisions, we really should seek God. And in this case, they didn't. And the whole entire time, they just didn't. And they just did their own thing, and they got themselves into a place that they probably shouldn't have, but God seemed to allow it. So what can we learn here? I think we need to learn, slow down sometimes. We need to slow down and seek the Lord and gain his wisdom. You know, sometimes these are big, life's made up of decisions. And some decisions will alter significantly the rest of your life. And when we make them, we should really slow down and pause and seek God's wisdom so that we are found in his will. So consider that as you make a decision in the future. Take time to pray. Take time to hear from God. And I believe that there'll be greater blessing in that. God bless you all.